Amen, amen. The title of our message this morning is Thanks, Mom. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for your presence this morning and for this opportunity, Lord, to worship you together and honor our moms. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a Jewish proverb that says God could not be everywhere, so he made mothers. Amen, Elder Sylvia says. And you know, as a child, it feels like that. Thank you, Lord, that mom's right here, right when I needed her. We know God is always with us, but moms have a special place. In the Hebrew, the word for mother is em, which implies the bond of the family. A mother is the one who gives birth to, who raises, or who produces. To mother is to nurture, protect, and comfort her own. A mother is to be the source of blessing to her children. Proverbs 31:28 says, her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Before we go on, I just have a little story. A man came home from work one day to find his kids outside in their pajamas, playing with a water hose in a mud puddle, totally filthy and making mud pies. As he approached the house, he noticed a pile of toys and dirt in front of the door, and he quickly stepped over the pile, opened the door, and beheld what looked like the remains of a war. There was food, and there were dishes randomly thrown here and there in a pile of dirty clothes at the foot of the stairs. He began to call desperately for his wife, and he heard her voice upstairs coming from their bedroom. He rushed up the stairs, dodging obstacles as he went, and he burst into the door, and there he found his wife sitting up in the bed reading a book. He says, "Are you all right?" And she said, "Yes." And she said, "I'm fine." And he said, in a different tone of voice, rather demanding, "Well, then, what's going on?" And she replied, "You know how every day when you come home, you laugh and ask me, what did I do all day? Well, today I decided not to do it." Moms appreciate that. Amen? All right. You know, most jobs in the marketplace are pretty clear cut. They know what they're supposed to do. You punch the clock, you punch in, you punch out. Most of the time, you're able to see if you've done a good job or a bad job by whether or not the work is done and if it's done right and if it's done on time. And even in construction and in education, there are different exams, deadlines. There are different ways to measure how you are doing. So success or failure is easily measured and evaluated in the corporate world. But then let's compare that to motherhood. Many mothers spend long hours of sleepless nights wondering if they are doing it right. Did I do the right thing with my children? Because the victory one day can turn into a disaster the next day. And a mother may not be sure if she's successful in the work of raising her children until years after she begins the job. Most jobs come with a job description. But we all know our babies, on the other hand, are not born with instructions attached to them, and there are no labels included with them. And every one of them comes with a different set of characteristics, emotions, temperaments, strengths, and weaknesses. And because we do not get to special order our children to meet certain specifications, it is an on-the-job training. And motherhood can be overwhelming. But I love this quote by Jill Churchill, who said, "There's no way to be a perfect mother and a million ways to be a good one." And one of the best instruction books is the book of the Bible for raising children, especially the book of Proverbs. It will help point the way for you to be a good mom. And God's word is filled with wonderful instruction about life. It's filled with short, practical applications of his law and wisdom. Proverbs 1:8 says, "Listen, my child, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching." Another translation says, "Do not forsake your mother's law." So fathers give instructions. That word in the Hebrew means to correct, to reproof, warning, or restraint. And mothers give teaching. Mothers have an opportunity to teach. It's not that fathers don't teach. It's just that the opportunity for mom to teach is probably time-wise greater than dad's. But to teach in the Hebrew word, it's from the Torah. Torah means precept or statute, especially the Decalogue or the Pentateuch. So the Hebrew word for parent is horem. It comes from the same root word as more, which means teacher. A parent is the single most important teacher a child will ever have. Let that sink into your heart. A parent is a mother or a father of a child, one with responsibilities as a provider, protector, and defender. To parent is to physically raise, emotionally nurture, and spiritually nourish a son or a daughter, whether that child is yours by birth or if you adopted that child. You can parent that child. You teach that child. That becomes your responsibility. I read this Spanish proverb that says, "An ounce of mom is worth a pound of clergy." I think we all know that moms can lay down the law. Okay. Children are to not forsake your mother's teaching. Sometimes we say it over and over again, but praise God when we see it producing fruit in your child's life. Amen. All right, so let's go to our passage this morning. It's in 2 Timothy chapter 1, and I'm going to read through several scriptures, and then we're going to talk about them. But 2 Timothy chapter 1, this is the Apostle Paul talking to Timothy, who was his son in the faith. And he said, "Paul is an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, a beloved son. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ our Lord. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, I am persuaded is in you also." Going on to the third chapter, he's still talking to Timothy, and he said, "But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." So moms, listen to this and be blessed. This is the Apostle Paul, and he's telling this faithful young man some things to remember. And these things are the very things that have brought Timothy this far in his life. This is simply an encouragement from Paul to Timothy to keep it up and keep going. He said, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of." And so when I read something like that, I'm like, okay, what are the things that Paul is talking about and encouraging him in? And if you remember in verse 5 from Timothy 1, it said, "I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded is in you also." So we see he had a mom and a grandma that had faith in God that was actually passed on and implanted, transferred supernaturally by the Spirit of God on into Timothy. What is in you transfers to your children. What is in people around your children transfers into your children. You know, I wondered, as Timothy was growing up, how many times did Lois and Eunice talk to him about the scriptures? You know, how many times did Timothy hear God's word spoken to him by these women? And just a little history. In this passage, this is the only time the term grandmother is used in the scripture. Although there are numerous grandmothers mentioned in the Bible. And the name Lois means desirable or agreeable. And Lois was a devout Jewish and had instructed her daughter and grandson Timothy in Old Testament scriptures. And nothing is said about her husband, so it is assumed that Lois was a widow. And Lois's daughter was Eunice, and her name means conquering well, and was a name that was used to express a good or a happy victory. And Eunice had married a Gentile. But Paul did not say anything about Eunice's husband. So once again, it's assumed that by the time Paul met them, met this family, the father was dead. It was Paul that shared with them about Jesus. And their hearts were prepared because they knew the Holy Scripture. And their hearts were prepared by the Scripture. They were looking for a Messiah, and this family was saved. And Timothy's name means one who fears God. And notice how Paul talks about the things Timothy's to continue in, the things that he learned and he was convinced of. He just didn't hear them. Timothy learned them, and he just didn't learn them. He was totally convinced by them. There's a big difference, isn't there? There's a big difference. You know, when Brother Gabe gets up and he shares about financial giving, you know that he has learned this, but you also know he is totally convinced by this. It's one thing to know about it, to hear about it, to learn it. How many times have you learned something, memorized it for a test, and then you totally forgot it? Anybody here? Yeah. So we've got to learn it and be convinced by it. So they must have made every effort to make sure the word stuck, that he experienced it. When you experience something, it sticks to you. That's what makes you convinced. Amen? Amen. So, you know, every mom can make a huge difference in their child's life because it's a natural instinct for a child to love their mom. And every child believes what their mom says. They listen to you intently. And every mother has an amazing power to influence the hearts and the minds of their children. You are the most convincing impact on your child's mind and heart. And what is important to you and what you make a priority in your life will become the priority of your children's lives. Amen. Come on, moms. Amen. And one other thing I want to share. God didn't give the job to somebody else. He handed it to you because he trusts you. And he knows you don't have all the answers. And that's part of the beauty of it all, because you need God's help in this. Somebody say amen. Amen. I believe raising children will drive people to their knees just about quicker than anything else in this world. Can the mom say amen? I'm telling you. Not only does God want your children to learn and be convinced, you know what? He wants us to learn and be convinced too. And mothers learn and are convinced by many things because of raising up children. Your children teach you a lot. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Moms that stay close to Jesus and in his word are going to learn and be convinced of the things that count forever. You see, we're putting eternity into our children's hearts and mind. Somebody say amen. We're giving them eternity, the eternal view, a biblical view that opposes a worldview. And if you don't do it, the world will. If you're not discipling and teaching your children, the world will. If you're not paying attention, somebody with a different message is going to get a hold of your children and teach it to them. Come on. Moms need to be on the wall. They need to watch and pray over their children. Thank you, moms. Thank you. Next to my favorite saying in this list is, knowing those from who you learned it. Paul was telling Timothy, here's another good reason to keep up the faith that you hold on to and carry, because you know the people that taught you those things, and you know them well. Because think about it. We learn a lot of stuff from people that we don't even know. We can be really impressed by people we see on TV or even people in our communities that seem to have it all together, but we really don't know them. We're not with them in the private times of their life when they fight with their families or act like a fool in other ways. We can falsely imagine them as happy, successful, satisfied people who have it all together and think that you want to be just like them. But we don't live with them or see them in the morning after the big event. You know, script writers, they lead us to believe lies. The closest people in your life are the ones that you will learn from and end up living like most. We are more influenced by those we hang out with because they are the ones that are closest to us. So we talked about this on Wednesday night, about how important it is to hang out with people with spiritual gifts. Hang out with people who have an eternal view. Hang out with those that have a biblical view. Because whoever you're hanging out with, that's who you're going to become like. I believe it's in the book of Proverbs, the birds of a feather flock together. Let's be a flock, church. Let's be a flock. Watch who your children are hanging out with. But when you think about this whole thing, who do you know better than your mom? Thank you, Lord. The third thing was, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scripture. From infancy. So I wonder, how early did they start? And is it ever too early to start speaking the Scripture, the Word, over your children? I'm sure many of you moms rock your children, pray over them, sing over them. From the time you have them, you take them in your arms and bless them. So it's never too early. And let me tell you a secret that you probably already know, but which, if you will apply in your life, will make a huge difference with your life for Christ. And that's the best thing you can do for your family, is establish and maintain some good Christian traditions. A tradition is something that is handed down from generation to generation. It's a tradition, a ritual, such as always praying before you eat. Hallelujah. It can be a tradition in the family. Oh, wait, you know, Mimi's going to make us pray. Micah sent me a video from a family that was getting together for Thanksgiving. And he was laughing because he said, this reminds me of you, Mimi. The grandma got up and started to pray to bless the food, but she went off into intercession somewhere and just kept praying and praying. And one of her grandsons actually just fainted right in front of her, and everybody was hungry. And he said, Mimi, please don't pray this long this Thanksgiving. But traditions, they know I'm going to pray. Hallelujah. Because we thank God for the provision. Teaching your children to be thankful, that, you know, This food comes from the Lord. It comes from the Lord. Isn't it amazing how food grows? You know, it's getting garden time and planting seeds, and what an opportunity to teach your children about the goodness of God as plants grow and fruit come forth from the earth. It's just amazing. But having family traditions, reading the Bible together, devotions, going to church together, doing service projects together, and doing mission trips together. These are traditions that will make memories that will bless your children and your children's children forever. So regular traditions are the fabric of life. From our morning activities to bedtime prayers, good rituals educate. They bring stability. They build identity. They provide a context for maturity. So Timothy's mom and grandmother obviously had a tradition of speaking and sharing the word of God with him from the earliest time of his life. And look at the results in Timothy's life. So how are you doing in this area? Just check yourself today and think about this. The reason we came to church today and the reason we honor mothers today is because it is a tradition. There is an attack on motherhood in our nation. And it's a demonic attack to destroy the very fabric of our society and Christian values. And this is why we need the Holy Scriptures. The Holy Scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Scriptures. Thank you, Father. It makes you wise for salvation. You know, salvation from the Greek means to deliver physically or morally, to rescue, to bring to safety, to bring health, to save, saving. So salvation, yes, we're saved from our sins, but there is so much in this package of salvation that God has given to us, and we're only going to understand it and be able to express it and experience it as we read and know the Holy Scriptures. That word salvation comes from the root word sotar, which means God, our Christ, a deliverer, our Savior. And that is what we need in this world today. We need Jesus. And the Scriptures, number 5, says that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And we want to be equipped for good works. We want our children to be equipped for good works. And the way that's going to happen is by the transforming power of the Word of God. Never underestimate how powerful the Word of God is. The Scripture says it's quick and it's powerful and it's able to divide between the soul and the spirit. It's able to divide between those soulish cravings and desires and what is spiritual and eternal and the direction that you want your children to go. Even if they don't want to hear it, if you're in charge of the house, put it on. Put on the praise. Who's in charge? You got to ask that the whole time you're raising children, no matter how young they are, they will take charge. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I remember my mom saying, Janet, you just got to be more strong-willed than those girls. You know? So that's what you got to be. And strong-willed in the direction of what is right. Because we teach them what is right and what is wrong. Hallelujah. Children are only as, their conscience is only as good as their training. So if your spirit man isn't equipped, you're unable to live your life to its greatest potential. Moms, you have a position in your child's life that allows you countless opportunities to teach them God's word and put it into practice in practical ways. And ask God to show you how to reach each of your children in ways that will convince them, because every child's different, convince them that God's way is the best way and the only way to eternal life. So we honor our father and mothers. It says in Exodus 20:12, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. This is the first commandment with promise, honoring. Ephesians 6:1-3 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. So to obey means to do what another says to do. To honor means to respect and love. And when you love someone, you treat him or her with dignity. Probably everybody sitting here talked back to their parents. Is there any saint in the house that didn't? We all remember that attitude. Do you remember that attitude? I certainly hope that attitude has died. So children go through those stages. But praise God. You know they're going to come out of it because you're praying. And you're not letting them get away with it, right? All right. Proverbs 17:6 said, children's children are a crown to the aged, and parents are the pride of their children. So although children are proud of their parents, grandchildren are the reward of the grandparent. So grandparents, enjoy your reward to the fullest. And all the grandma and grandpa said, amen. Amen. So a child's perception of his or her earthly father will profoundly influence the child's concept of God. So important, dads, that you represent God's well. And in closing, I just want to share with you an acronym that I found in my resources on honoring mom. And why do we honor mom? Because moms are managers, menders, mentors, organizers, opportunists. They're always looking for bargains, right? Trustworthy, teachers, taxi drivers. They're helpers. Amen. We even haul those grandkids everywhere. All right. Helpers, healers. They set examples. They're edifiers. They're encouragers. They're restorers, restrictors, refuge, and a reflection of Christ. So may God bless our homes and families with godly traditions that will produce godly sons and daughters. In a world that's washed away with pleasure seekers who miss the meaning of life, may God grant us godly homes to establish and protect our children, and may we honor those who sacrifice to provide these blessings to us. So on this very special day, we all want to say, thanks, Mom. Amen. Just put on some soft music, please. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for all the moms that are here today. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for our moms that are in heaven today. Lord, we just thank you, Father, for their place in our life. Thank you, Lord. And for those who are struggling with Mother's Day today, Lord, I pray for them also. Lord, heal their hearts. And Lord, I thank you that you said you'll be our father, our mother, our sister, and our brother. Lord, you fill up those gaps. You heal up those wounds in our hearts. And fathers, I pray for the mothers today that are being really hard on themselves because they're wondering what they did wrong or what more they could have done, Lord. Just set them free. Set them free from that condemnation. Lord, you said there's no condemnation for those that are in you. And so, Lord, we recognize that, yes, there are things we could have done better. We all recognize that. But we are so thankful, Lord, that you fill in all of those gaps. Lord, you come and you take care of the things that we didn't take care of. Lord, that's why we work together on a team, because you're able. Lord, you know it all. You can reach our children. And those that have backslid, those that are not with us, Lord, I pray for them right now, Lord God. I pray, Father God, that you turn their hearts to you. Mom, those hearts of moms that are aching today for their children, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you give them hope and you renew them today. You renew their strength today, Lord, to keep believing and trusting, Lord, that you're at work in their lives. And Lord, we thank you that your word's eternal and all the good seed that we have sown in our children, Lord, we thank you, Father, that it will spring forth and it will bring forth life. We thank you for that, God. Your word never returns void. It never returns void. So, Lord, that's our hope today. That's our promise today. That's what we're holding on to today. Lord God, we thank you for families. We thank you for the children you blessed us with. We just thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being moms. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for spiritual moms in the church. Thank you for church moms, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for those that are willing, Father, to extend themselves to care for others. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. You're so good to us. You are so good to us. And we thank you, Lord, and we honor our moms, and we say thanks, Mom, this Mother's Day. In Jesus' name, amen. So somebody give the Lord a praise. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm going to ask you just to end that music right now. And the next song that we will be playing is a song that was written by our daughter, Teresa, and it's Thank You. And she wrote that for me several years ago, and it's such a blessing to me. And it's a tradition, as long as Pastors Leonard and I are in this place, we're playing our song on Mother's Day, okay? And it's a blessing, it's a tribute to all moms. Thank you. And so while we're listening to that, I'm going to ask if the ushers will come on up to hand out the carnations, because while we're listening to that, we're going to make our way up front, get our carnation, and we're going to stay up here because we're going to take our annual Mother's Day picture. And so at this time, if the ushers are ready, come on up and get the carnations, and you can start the songs. And I don't know if they're releasing you moms or if you're just making your way up here, but how about if we start in the back and the moms in the back make your way forward, get your carnation, come on up.
Suffering through the burning pains, but washed and clothed and treated.
We always have to go to the end of the song. That's my granddaughter, Pat Cummings, and my granddaughter. We share grandchildren. That was her saying that, and she is now 17. Yes, yes. So anyway, at this time, I want to pray over all the moms. So just put your hand on your heart, please. Heavenly Father, thank you for these mothers. Thank you, Lord, for everything they've poured out for their families and what they do every day for their children. God, I pray that you strengthen their hearts. Lord, I ask that you give them good health. And Father, that you give them wisdom that is from above, that is peaceable in their heart and mind, Lord. And as they make decisions, Lord, I thank you, Father, that the Holy Spirit is behind them speaking and saying, this is the way to go. And Lord, let them have confidence, Lord, that you are with them, you are strengthening them, and that you love them. In Jesus' name. Amen.